I'm going to stay down here for just a few minutes as we share some slides with you. But before we do that, there was an announcement just given to me that we need to remember Cecil, that he is in the hospital right now, and I don't know any more details than that, but if that's the case, we need to remember him. So whoever's leading the closing prayer, we especially need to remember Cecil tonight. I wanted to share a few things with you, some photographs of our trip that we just, that the youth group and I just got back last Sunday from. And several different ways, I guess I heard the people pronouncing this, but as close as I can get, Bayou La Batre. Now, down there, I can't speak the way they pronounce it, but all of those syllables aren't there. And I can't remember exactly which ones are and which ones aren't. But anyway, some really good people that I've had the privilege to get to know over the last year and a half, almost 2 years, since the first time actually I went down. And I've gone down a few other times to meet with them and work with them. Last year, there's a few pictures on here that I actually took last year. This is, for those of you who've seen it, the movie Forrest Gump was part of it, was filmed in this town. This is a shrimping industry and their boats. This was just right after the storms went through and some of the debris, if you will, around. This house was one we worked on last year, and if you can see on this, the picture on the right side over here, the water was in town, was all the way up to this part of this house. This whole area was completely and totally underwater. This house had to be completely gutted. I would have figured it needed to be dozed, but they just gutted everything, all the inside out, and kind of refurbished it. Another house in town, actually, that was underwater as well. Not quite as deep as the other one, but the entire inside was about 3 or 4 feet deep with water in it. This used to be homes that were on the beach area. And if you can see all the little sticks or poles sticking up, those are pylons where homes were actually resting on top of. Whole city, if you will, gone right here. There were several city blocks, and the streets are completely covered in sediment that washed in, several feet of sand and dirt that was washed in with this storm. So next couple slides, you can see this house. This is almost a mile off of the road, and yeah, the only thing between the road and that house is that swamp. It's always a swamp, and that the hurricane took homes, multiple homes, that far out. This one wasn't quite as far, but a few hundred yards. But where these houses came from was about 3 miles away. More pictures of one of the towns there on the beach area, where they stored, where we were this year going down. They've got a lot of this cleaned up now and removed. Where now the boats are back and all up and down through here. And these aren't little bass boats. These are pretty good sized boats, actually, that these have just washed where they couldn't even get to them and get them out to salvage them. And I don't know if I've shown this picture to some people. I don't know if you've seen it. This was in one of the neighborhoods we worked in. People were so tired of others coming in and stealing the things that they had, what little they had left. This was a semi-trailer that they had parked out there, and someone got a can of spray paint and basically informed people that they're not going to put up with looters anymore, and even named a few people specifically and said if they're caught in this neighborhood again, well, you can read it for yourself. This this is right near the area where their tent camp was set up this year. This summer, the congregation there and several others had set up a tent camp and housing a lot of teenagers. The week we were there, there were over 100 teenagers there working on different projects. And this was just basically across the street from where that camp was set up. Again, this is basically all that was left of some of those houses. Going out across the road from where the camp was, and they actually had rebuilt. Some of the homes are starting to go back in, a few of them. A couple of these docks, if you will, or people are able to go out and said that they've replaced a few of them, and we actually had some devotionals on one of them. And we worked with several of the families, and just some of the roofing on the first house we went to today, we had to repair some of those things, and that's a leaf blower on top of the house to get some of the debris that was so thick to get down to be able to repair what we needed to fix on the roof for these people. And again, these families could not, they're waiting on anyone to come along and help them because financially they couldn't afford to do any of this themselves. And here's what most everyone stayed in, were these big canvas tents where we ate breakfast and dinner each day. And the ones on the side where people were staying, and then they had a couple of trailers set up with with showers. And sometimes they were fighting over who got to do the most work. Another house we were working on where we were putting insulation in and hanging sheetrock and those kinds of things in this house. And sometimes if any of you have ever done drywall overhead, it gets a little bit messy. Especially if you're below the one who's doing, who's putting it on. And some love power tools. And after drilling a few holes, they're saying, please give me the bit. I want to drill something else. This was a bridge going out onto Dolphin Island where we had our final night that we were there. We had a devotional with all the other groups and a cookout that night. And they played in the water for a few minutes as well. And this is the couple that we worked with the majority of the time we were there, the royal family. Wonderful people and really treated us well and welcomed us in their house. And she fixed lunch for us every day. Just a super, super nice family. We had if any of you have ever gone somewhere and helped in one of these situations, we really had a good time going and working, an enjoyable time. It was hot, it was humid, as you might expect, and it was walking out to the bus in the morning, you were already wringing wet, but it was a good thing. I mean, we did have a lot of hours that we got to spend working and doing and helping some people that we'll probably never forget those people's faces and how kind they were to us. It seemed like they were more they wanted to serve us more than we were trying to help them. And they're wanting to send something with us. They're wanting to do something for us while we're there. We're like, no, we came here to help you all. But it's just a great time. And I appreciate this congregation supporting the 12 of us as we left to go down on this trip into Alabama to work with the church and with the people there. Tonight, I want to share a few thoughts with you. And it's about the things kind of that we've done, what we did on this trip, and what a lot of us have done at different times in our life. And things that we really should be about our entire life. And I couldn't help but think as I was getting this lesson ready about performing. How many of you have ever performed in front of people before? Maybe it was in a sporting event or a band or a speech or anything like that. Anyone ever done that in front of people before? A few of you have. Sometimes it's a little bit intimidating, isn't it? To get up in front of a lot of people and do something, perform or do something. I've done it in a number of places, and not that this is performing in speaking, but you're in front of people and you're doing something that's been set before you to do. And even if it's in a ball game or whatever it is, there is a goal that we set out and we go and we try to accomplish these things. And I can't help but think as Christians that we have a, in a sense, performance that we're doing for our entire life. The things that we do, we're on a stage and we're doing some things that have been set before us. The only difference is, as Christians, in this life that we have, there are some directives that have been given to us in our life. And you think about some of the things that God has told us to do in John chapter 13 and 34 and 35. The Lord is talking to His disciples and He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He's saying, you be different than the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you, you have a different assignment than what the world does. You need to teach the world who you are. You are going to be doing things on a stage different than the rest of the world does things. You are, in a sense, going to be performing. They're watching you and going to see, do I really believe in this person? Now, it's not a performance where we might put a mask on or a costume on. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? As Christians, we don't try to hide who we are. We're trying to show who we really are, who Christ is, and who He's called us to be. In Galatians 6:2, Paul writes that we are to bear one another's burdens. That we are to take care of one another. We're to watch out and see when someone is overburdened. We're to go over and get beside them and help them through this life. We're to do things for one another and take care of one another. And this morning in the text that we were looking at in Luke chapter 12, in 33 and 34, the Lord says, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which will not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near or moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We've been given a different directive than the world has. And God said, "You are my people, and here is what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to live. These are the things that you're to be about." And when you are living in this world as Christians, as my children, this is who you are to be. And you're teaching and you're training people around you. But as Christians, not only do we have a different directive, we also have a different audience. And sometimes we get confused about who our audience is. Sometimes we think that we are the audience, or sometimes we think that the people around us are the audience. In reality, God is our audience. God is watching us. God has called us. And I remember a preacher one morning as he was talking and he finished speaking and he said, "You've been a wonderful audience." And I thought, I didn't come to be an audience. I came today to worship God. We only have one audience in our life. Truly, there is only one audience in our life, and that audience is God. We are before Him every day to live our life in such a way to bring glory and honor to Him, not to ourselves or to anyone else. God is our audience, the Creator of this world, of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who has the right, and He made us stewards of everything that is around us. You remember in the garden with Adam and Eve, He told them, "You take care of what I've given you." Same thing today. He's made us stewards of everything in our life. Take care of those things. Our audience is our Father as well. And those of you who are fathers, how do you feel when you watch someone and interacting with your children and they treat them well and they treat them with kindness and respect? How do you feel about that person? Do you feel good about that? Do you go, "Man, I really enjoy or I really like that person. I appreciate what they're doing with my children." It's a good thing. And we like good people to be around our children, don't we? But as a father, what happens when someone treats your child harshly or in a hurtful way? We just laugh it off and go away, right? It's okay. No. We're ready to fight, aren't we? We're ready to go, "Now wait a minute." You grab those children and you pull them behind you and you say, "You know, you need to stay away from my child. You need to get away from my children." How does our Father feel when people overlook or mistreat His children? How does our Father, when He's watching us live our life and we see things that need to be done or people that need to be visited or talked to or people that need to be encouraged and people that need to be taken care of, burdens bared, and all of those things that we've already talked about, loving them, when the Father sees His people, His children, who need to be taken care of, and we just walk right by them, how does He feel? The same way we do with our children when someone treats them that way. Our audience is our God, is our Creator, is our Father. And if you think about in Acts chapter 6, flip over there with me real quick. In Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 and following, and we're in the infancy stages of the church. And it says, "Now at this time," verse 1, "while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task, so that we might devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the statement found favor, approval, with the whole congregation. And they chose those 7 men." And we look at what God has directed His church to do. He said, "Look out among you. There are people who are not being taken care of." What do we do? Ignore that? Absolutely not. God said, "You are to take care of them. We need to watch out for one another." He has put that is our role in this life. This is what we are about while we're here, is to take care of one another. And our audience, God, our Father, is watching everything that we do. And He's watching how we're living and where He's watching how we're interacting with each other. And that's why He's laid down these directives for us and how we are to treat one another, how we are to respond to one another. And we know this passage well in James chapter 1 and verse 27, when James writes that pure and undefiled religion is this: to visit widows and orphans in their distress. Pure and undefiled religion. It's not learning a bunch of rules and regulations, he says, but pure and undefiled religion is this, that we take care of those who need to be taken care of, that we look out for one another and we take care of and we help others make it through this life. We take care of God's children in this world. Our audience for our life is our Father. We want to please Him because He loves us. He's taking care of us and He knows what we need. So we listen to Him. And the other thing that we get a little bit confused about in this world is this. As Christians, our stage, if you will, is the world. Those pictures that I showed you a few moments ago are people that have been struggling for a couple of years now in Alabama. And we helped a few families while we were there, and at least two of those families that we helped would have never been able to get fixed what would have been fixed or what was fixed if someone didn't come to help them. God laid opportunities at our feet, and we took those opportunities. And that's not a pat on anyone's, on my back or our backs that went down there, but this is just, it's simply, this is what God has called us to do every day of our life. We look around us and we see people that are continually doing this work. There have been hundreds and hundreds of people traveling down there and giving up time to help those people. And a lot of times it's easy to see where those disasters are and go and find those people and say, well, we're here to help and we're here to work and to do what we can for you. And it's great that there are congregations like the Church of Christ Disaster Relief Team that they were here with us and we've helped them in the past. Financially, to go and do some of the things that they're doing. And they set up these sites. And that's a wonderful thing that we're involved in. But that's what we're supposed to be about every day of our life. And I asked this question, and I think I maybe asked it here once. But sometime in the past, I just got to thinking one night. I thought, what would happen if all the Christians in the world were to go on strike? Where would all those people be? Where would we be when we've suffered through things like some of the people in Alabama or Louisiana or Texas or in the other places recently in Kansas and even in Oklahoma and the tornadoes and all these things? Where would those people be if Christians went on strike and didn't do what God called us to do? We're going around and all over the places. Chris and Lee are in Nicaragua and they're going to be coming back. They've been down there for over a week. We support our family there. We support a lot of things around the world. Why? Because God has called us to be this people. But the question is, in my mind, is it seems anyway a little easier to go somewhere and help and do the things God called us to do than it is to do it in our backyard. How many times do we see someone or we drive right past someone that needs help right here in our neighborhood? And I don't want us to even stop at this and think that it's just physical things that we need to be helping with. How many times do we see someone in our life spiritually that needs help and we drive right past them? I even got caught up while we were down there and we were busy and there was a family that came and said, I need someone to come and study with us. This lady said, my husband, I think he's ready to obey the gospel, but someone needs to come and talk to him. And I was thinking, man, I don't have time. I'm hanging sheetrock over here and I'm taping and all and I'm taking care of all this stuff. And he asked me, would you come over while you're here? And I don't know this family, but they asked me, would you come and study with them? And I thought, yeah, I'll do it. That's what I'm really supposed to be about. That's our real true call. It's not just helping people physically, but spiritually when we see them in need. And I had an opportunity to go study with them for a while. And I know that the church is continuing with this family. And I hope maybe he's already our brother in Christ now. He had a lot of questions, and we talked and we visited for a while, and I shared a lot of things with him out of God's Word, and he was seemed to be very excited about the things that he was learning. And I know that it's going to be a process for him. But when we look around and our life, the stage, if you will, that we're living on, this world is our stage. One last thing, and we'll close tonight. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, very simply put, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever we're about in this life, whether it's speaking, whether it's sharing something with someone, or whether it's working with them and doing something for them, we need to remember this. Everything that we're about, we do because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. As we talked about this morning, He gave His life. He brought about eternal life for you and for me. He brought about forgiveness. He offered it to us. He offered it to the entire world. What an awesome thing it is to be a child of God. And yet, how many people around us don't know Jesus? Man, we have a great opportunity every day of our life. Remember this, God is our audience and He is watching us. And He's calling us to live, to be the people that He's called us, that He created us to be. To be a people that make a difference in this world because He made a difference in our life. It's the only thing that we can do. That's the only response that we can have to His love, is to respond in a positive way and say, I want to make a difference. I want to allow God to make a difference through me. You can become a child of God tonight if you're not. It's very simple. He's made it very simple for us. If we name Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can be immersed into Him. And after we are immersed into Him, as we are clothed with Him, we receive all the blessings that come from God. All the forgiveness, all the sanctification, all the things that God talks about in His Word, we receive when we're immersed into Christ. What an awesome thing. How can we respond any other way than to be faithful with what God has given us? Where are you tonight? Where are you in your life? God is calling you. God is offering an invitation to you to become His child, or for us to pray together for anything that you have a need tonight. We would love to take care of that need right now. If you need to respond to Him, we ask you to do it while we stand and we sing together.